This time a week ago, we were celebrating our 30th birthday in the Hokanui studios in Gore. This man, our next guest, has been with us for those 30 years, our Australian correspondent, Chris Russell. And Chris, in the intervening 7 days, tragedy in Australia.
Yes, it's been a very surprising and shocking time in Australia with this man who sounds like a sad case himself, I must say, that he in fact is a schizophrenia sufferer. They're now finding he'd been casing out these shopping centres. He's a fanatic about knives. He'd been inquiring about where he could get to fire guns. Thank God that no one responded to those inquiries. And he went through, and of course, this terrible tragedy. So today, Westfield in Bondi Junction, which is one of our big shopping chains here in Australia, they will reopen today, but there won't be any trading. There will be black ribbons. There will be very quiet, melancholic music that's going to be playing, and it's just to allow people to come back, so walk through the centre, reminisce and reflect on what's gone on there. Tomorrow they're going to allow trading, but it's interesting that most of the shops have indicated they're going to have another day of opening their shops, but letting people just come in, walk around, particularly where all the deaths occurred, and just try and get ourselves used to the idea that, you know, these sort of things happen in a peace-loving country like Australia. And then, of course, the next day, blame me down, we see this time a religious fanatic, someone that looks like a young 15-year-old boy, probably been radicalised at some point, goes and stabs a bishop, claiming that that bishop had insulted Muhammad in one of his sermons. Now, happily, no deaths there, but a lot of 50 police cars were wrecked, and they now have brought in anti-terror declarations, which means the police can go around and actually search at random people that they want to search, rather than have to require warrants to do that, Jamie.
Yeah, tough times across the Tasman. On a more upbeat note, you've been at a hemp growers conference, Chris. Did you inhale?
Well, so that's the problem hemp's got. Everybody immediately thinks that, you know, the old good shit, man, sort of idea of hemp. But in fact, it's got nothing to do with that. Most of the hemp now that's grown, and in fact, all of it really, unless it's medicinal, has to have very low levels by law of carotenoids and THCs, so that, you know, it's not that sort of hemp. We're talking, in my case, I'm on an advisory board of an operation in Victoria, so we're looking at hemp plants that grow 2.5 metres tall, and we harvest both the fibre and the herd from that to make hemp bricks, to make fabrics for making clothing, right up to some recent interesting research in Queensland, which has found that ground-up hemp is actually a better methane reducer than seaweed. Now, that's flown under the radar, and I didn't know about that till I got to this conference, but there's 85% reduction in methane feeding small amounts of ground-up hemp, and instead of the seaweed, which costs $56,000 a tonne to buy, this stuff's only $5,000 a tonne. So, you know, that I think that's got a lot of future, Jamie.
Well, I know a Balfour farmer who will be rubbing his hands in glee at the prospect of all that. Hey, here's an interesting one. Grand Champion Australian Wagyu Steak has 60% marbling. That would actually fall apart in your mouth, wouldn't it, Chris?
Well, I'll send you a photo of it. You can put it on your Facebook page. It's a fascinating thing to look at. You can hardly see the red protein in the meat. But when you cook it, of course, that fat melts. And remember, this is intramuscular fat, which is different to the bad low LDL fat that gets in that subcutaneous fat on the outside of the meat. And the idea is to have this experience where they can tease it apart with their chopsticks in Asia. But in our case, we just look for it to literally fall apart in your mouth. So this has just won the award this year. I'm sure its calorific value would not please any of the nutritionists around, but in terms of flavour, mouthfeel, and that sense of just melt-in-your-mouth food, this is one from a stud which has actually won this award a number of times, Jamie.
And I bet you can't grow it in a lab. I don't know about lab-grown meat, Chris, but what about lab-grown quail eggs?
Well, this is a new exercise that they've decided to get into, where they're actually taking actual protein material from quail eggs and being able to synthesize it in the laboratory. And it's, although it's not being sold yet in Australia, it hasn't been approved, they are now selling it up in Singapore. Apparently, it's being sold at a massive price as a very exclusive type of food in the form of a parfait, and very popular with the high-end restaurants who are finding that it's just pure taste of quail egg. And they're looking to do that with a number of other type of proteins. And I think as a niche market, why not? The problem with a lot of these plant-based proteins and other proteins is people see them as competition for meat. And they shouldn't be. They're just supplements to it.
And Chris Russell, a lovely story to finish on. Winx, your champion thoroughbred racehorse, is pregnant again, this time to a stallion called Snitzel. The cost of that romance, $247,500 and no free second date. Tell us about this one.
Yes, well, this is a horse, Snitzel, which is an Arrowfield stud up in the Hunter Valley, and he's been the preferred sire to go to be joined with Winx since day one, but hard to get a booking. $247,000 a shot, I would have thought you could probably be a walk-up start, but no, and if it doesn't work, well, you don't get a second date for nothing. It's another $247,000. But Snitzel is probably one of the most famous and well-bred racehorse stallions in the world, mainly doing a lot of its racing over in England, and I can't even think what eye-watering amount of money a stallion from Winx and Snitzel would actually be worth. Now, of course, Winky, I think that they're nicknaming the filly that was sold last week for $10 million to one of the original owners of Winx, who just couldn't bear to let it go, but she is the daughter of Ingham's Chickens, the family, and therefore I don't think $10 million is going to make too big a hole in a super fund. But nonetheless, that was sold last week, and that's double the price even for a brother of Black Caviar, let alone for a filly. Previous price best for a filly was $2.6 million. Brother of Black Caviar sold for $5 million, and this one sold for $10 million. So I just can't even imagine what people will pay for a Snitzel Winx stallion if such a thing happens. She's an amazing horse. The Winnie, the little one, may not even race. They may decide just to rely on her genetics and sell progeny from her rather than risk her racing and failing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, Jamie.
We're in the wrong business, Chris. Thanks for your time. Catch you next week.
No worries.